I want you to turn, we're going to read two passages of scripture this morning. I'm going to start off in Mark chapter number 14. Then I'm going to go over to John chapter number 12. A few verses in each one. Don't normally do this, but we will this morning, all right? I'll try to preach quick. I ain't promising nothing. Thank you once again for being here. You're a blessing to this preacher this morning. I see so many folks here, and I thank you for that. I want to invite you to come back to church tonight. Church at 6, choir practice at 4:30. And man, I'm looking forward to what God's going to do all day. I sure do appreciate and love being with my family. I ain't talking about my blood family. I'm talking about you. And thank you so much for being here, all right? We'll start reading in verse number 3 of Mark chapter number 14. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head." I'm going to say this, and we're going to get into this subject, if you will, on worship. But worship comes through brokenness. Right here in the very first verse we read, we see that she broke a box. But you'll see from her actions that she was broken as well. As we look in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made?" I'm probably going to end up preaching before we even get through the verses, but I'd just like to point out that this was one of the disciples that had indignation. This was the one of the ones that was close, so to speak, to God, if you will. Close to Christ, but he had a problem with somebody else's worship. And it's amazing what she valued the most was Christ, and therefore she gave all that she could. He looked at it as waste. I wonder this morning if you'd be honest with yourself, and when you see somebody else worship, do you think it's wasteful? Do you think it's wasteful? You see somebody else worship and you look at it and say, I just don't know why they're doing that and making a fool of themselves. I'll be counted as a fool as long as he's getting the glory. Verse number 5, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her." I notice this, a lot of people that have a problem with everybody else's worship also has a problem with money. I think there's a correlation between worship and money. Is everybody all right? Don't get mad at me right here, but I mean, at the first mention of the word worship in the Bible, you go back to Genesis chapter number 22, and there was an offering being made. Abraham was offering Isaac. There was an offering. It was a come at a cost. I think there's a good correlation with that. And those that won't worship, come on, help me right here, broke. I'll just go on and move on. All right, you ain't got to like it. Verse number 5. No, yeah, no. Verse number 6. "And Jesus said," Jesus said, help me right here. You better leave her alone. I'm putting this in. Hey, is everybody all right? This is Lake Parkian language. You better leave her alone. I'd like to have been there when the God who spoke the world into creation turned around and said, "Watch it, boy." I'd like to have been a fly on the wall. Been over there going, whoop. Somebody's in trouble. Verse number 7. "For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good." He says, "But me you have not always." He said, "Why don't we take this money? That way we could have sold that and we could have given money to the poor." And Jesus said, "You got them with you always. You can be good to them at all times." He said, "But I'm here with you just for a little bit." Boy, I wish we'd get that thought in our mind too. We come together for the purpose of worship, and we only give God a short amount of time. we ought to give him all we can. I ain't talking about money right here. We ought to give him all we can. And that short amount of time we have in worship. The Bible says, verse number 8, she hath done what she could. My question to us this morning, we're doing what we can. Everybody all right? We're okay. Everybody look up here. Are we doing what we can? See, God stood up for her. He said, leave her alone. But then he backed it up with, she's doing all she can. So the question this morning is, if you and I want God to step up and better leave him alone. The question to us is, are we doing all we can? Are we doing what we could? Bible says, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. I got a lot that I'd like to preach right there. But the disciples didn't even realize, as much as Jesus, he had plainly told them that he had come to die. And that's what he was doing. We're 6 days away from crucifixion. He told them this is going to happen, and not one understood what was going on or believed what he said. But there was a little old girl named Mary that had sat at his feet. I need somebody to help me. She had sat at his feet when everybody was busy working. She had sat there talking that good thing. And she had not forgot what she had heard. She knew his time was near. And she worshipped with the opportunity that she had. And she gave all that she could. Bible says, verse number 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her, spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus said, not only am I proud of her, not only you better leave her alone, but then he turns right around and he said this. He said, I'm going to make a memorial out of what she done. And 2,000 years later, on September the 8th, 2019, we talking about what she did. I say that's a promise kept. Promise made, promise kept. Hallelujah. Turn over to John chapter number 12. Same story. A little more details. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. We learned in the first reading that we were in a leper's house. To be in a leper's house meant that he had to be cured. Somebody help me. If you know your Bible, as a leper, they were supposed to shout out, unclean! Clean. They couldn't even exist. They could not even be with anybody else. They had camps set aside outside the city to keep them away. Why? Because there was no cure for the disease at that time. So when you see a name like Simon the leper and Jesus was in his house, then you have to understand that he was no longer a leper. That means that Jesus had cured him. So how do you know that? The belief was that only God could cure leprosy. So at some point, somewhere, he'd come across the path of Christ and his leprosy was healed. Now we read that Lazarus was there. Lazarus died and spent 4 days in the grave, and Jesus stood at the opening of the grave and him out. The Bible says that he came forth wrapped in grave clothes, which means that sucker flew out. I need somebody to help me. Lazarus didn't come walking with a hitch in his step. He levitated out. I need somebody to help me. I don't know about y'all, but if I'd have been there, I'd have gotten saved 3 times. So we have Lazarus there. We have a that's been healed there. The Bible tells in verse number 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Come back tonight. I got something about Martha. Martha never learned her lesson. I don't want to give it away. Y'all better come back. I ain't going to share this with you. So I'm going to share it with you. You better come back, all right? Martha never learned her lesson. Luke chapter number 10, what was Martha doing? Serving. Jesus said, you're cumbered about. Here we are at Jesus' death. What's Martha doing? What's Martha missing out on? Never learned her lesson. I say there's a lot of us who never learn our lesson. By the time that we feel compelled to worship, it's going to be too late. Come back tonight. Bible says, verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Mark chapter number 14, she anointed the head. Here she anointed the feet. I don't know about y'all, but that tells me it was a head-to-toe thing. In other words, is everybody all right? She gave it all and made sure everything was covered. I'm liking it. But the Bible goes on and says that she wiped his feet with her hair. There's something to that. We'll get back to it. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That's not a bad odor, by the way. See, the whole purpose of this stuff and the anointing of the burial was to keep them from stinking as long as they could. You remember Martha? Martha hollered out in John chapter number 11 when Jesus said, remove the stone. She said, it's been 4 days. Lord, he stinketh. So in burial preparation, they would use this wonderful fragrance to try to mask the stench as long as they could. The Bible says, then said one of his disciples, verse number 4, Judas Iscariot. There's a Judas in every bunch. Simon's son. I wonder if that was Simon the leper's son. Y'all, that's one of them things you don't just go by. Where? Whose house we at? Just saying. Verse number 5. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Now we're learning some things. See, in Mark chapter number 14, it sounded real good, but in right here in John chapter number 12, we figure the Lord doesn't let us in on something. He didn't care about the poor at all. Fact of the matter was, he was a thief. He had the bag, which means he was a treasure, and he bare that was put in, or what was put in there, therein. Verse number 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Once again, against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Now let's get verse number 9 and we'll move on. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now I ain't preaching on this, but I want to point this out. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2 that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. When we get saved, we are resurrected to new life. A result of that ought to be that others are attracted to him. They didn't just come to see Jesus. They come to see the one that had been raised from the dead. Is everybody all right? I want to point them to Jesus. But my raised me from the dead. Let me get into this thing, or we're going to be late getting out of here, all right? We see three events in Mary's life. This Mary of Bethany, we see three events in the Bible of her life. First, we see her sitting at the feet of Jesus when Martha was working about. We see that she put an emphasis on being at his feet and worshiping him from the get-go. Then we see the next story we see is that her brother Lazarus is dead. He's been placed in a tomb, and she leaves those that are mourning for her, those that are comforting her, and she runs out to where he's at. And I'd like to point this out too. If you go and read that scripture, you'll find out that Martha went out to Jesus first, and she rebuked him, and he stood there, and he took it. Mary went out, and she begged him, and he went. And the Bible says that the Jews assumed and said, oh, how he loved Lazarus. But I think there was a correlation there between Mary being there, not Latin. Somebody better help me. Somebody better help me right here. I think there's a correlation with Mary being there. Mary was the reason. He had empathy with Mary. Why? Because Mary same heart that he did. See, we find out Lazarus, he's raised from the dead. He's in this meeting. He's at this service, and he's not worshiping. Oh, well, how he loved Lazarus. Really? Did he really love Lazarus that much? Or was his affection, was his weeping because of Mary and her pain and her hurt? I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there and put it on the record. I believe that it was because of Mary and not because of Lazarus. Lazarus ain't no different than the rest of us. Lazarus got raised from the dead and he wouldn't even worship him sitting there with him. I need somebody to help me. Lazarus was raised from the dead. He was sitting there talking with him, thinking that he deserved the spotlight. Mary came in and started pouring oil on his feet and said, Lazarus should have been worshiping. Lazarus should have been running laps around that place. Lazarus should have been doing cartwheels. He should have been doing backflips across there. He should have been doing cheers for Jesus. He was sitting there like he belonged somewhere. I tell you where Lazarus belonged. He belonged in the grave. I need somebody to help me this morning. I tell you where Lazarus belonged. You and I belong in the grave. Ain't nothing good in you and I. Come on, somebody better help me this morning. I'll try to get y'all out of here early unless y'all ain't going to get with me, all right? Hey, this is exactly where you and I belong, is in the grave. And by the mercy of God and the grace of God, you and I are saved and walking today. But then we have this story of Mary. The third story, the third scene, the third event, if you will, in our Bible. Reference to Mary of Bethany. And we find her worshiping and giving everything she had. I want you to look at three things with me, and I'm going to get us out of here. I want you to notice, first off, the attitude of Mary. The attitude of Mary. I want you to notice that she humbled herself. The Bible says that she poured oil on his feet. We see that she done it to his head, she anointed his head, but she poured oil on his feet. She humbled herself. She came into a place that she was not invited to. They had a very different outlook on women back in the Bible days than what we do today. Now, I ain't saying we're good about how we look at women today, but they definitely had a different mindset when it came to a woman back in biblical days. The culture over there is completely different than here. So she wasn't invited. Don't think for one minute that she was invited to come sit with Jesus. She might have been invited to come serve, but she wasn't invited to come sit. She humbled herself. She comes in, and instead of standing in the back and raising her hand, the Bible says that she anointed his head and his feet. To understand this, we have to understand how they sat at the table. They didn't sit like you and I do. They laid at the table. For Mary to get to him, hey, she had to get low. Oh, I need somebody to help me. See, as long as you and I are standing up in our own power, we'll never worship him. She had to get low to do the work that she had come to do. See, the thing about worship is you and I can't worship. You and I can't worship as long as it's about us. As long as it's about my pride. As long as it's about me looking all right. We'll never worship like we're supposed to. Mary had to get to a place where she could, I need somebody to help me this morning. She had an attitude that he was bigger than what she was. He was greater than what she was. He's more powerful than what, he mattered more than she did. We see the attitude, she humbled herself, the attitude, let me say this, she worshiped alone. Not only did she humble herself, but there wasn't nobody else in that room worshiping. Peter was in that room. He denied him. He would deny him three times. Peter got himself in all kind of trouble. Every time Peter opened his mouth, come on, help me out right here. Open mouth, insert foot. Disciples would, they would doubt him. One's going to betray him. He spent 3 years walking with them. 3 years performing miracles in front of them. They'd seen people raised from the dead. They'd seen 5,000 people fed. They'd seen demonic people cured of their disease or exorcisms, whatever you want to call it. They'd seen people cured of their disease. They'd seen people that couldn't walk that were walking. People that were blind that could see. People that couldn't talk that could now speak. People that couldn't hear that could. Is everybody all right? And yet they were all sitting there like they belong. Lazarus sitting at a table. Just one chapter prior, raised from the dead. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good about God. He raises me up from the dead. I think I might get a little bit excited in His presence. I mean, I might be wrong, but I'm just saying, if I was raised from the dead, having spent 4 days in the tomb, 4 days in the grave, I believe I'd have come out with a little hitch in my step. I think I'd have been a little excited. And yet here he is, and he's not worshiping. And old Simon, we're at Simon the leper's house, cured of a disease which was incurable at the time. He wasn't worshiping. There was one person that was worshiping. Her attitude was this. She humbled herself, but her attitude was, I'm going to do it even if I have to do it alone. We like corporate worship because we can blend in with everybody. Everybody goes to stand up on the song. I'll stand up. Come on, y'all, help me now. If everybody else stands up, I'll stand up. That's the mentality. That's how we do things. But she had an attitude, whether you stand up or not, he's worthy. Whether you worship him or not, he's worthy. Whether you care or not, I'm going to worship him. Why? Because it ain't about me.
Amen.
And it ain't about you. It's all about him. She had an attitude. She was humble. Not only that, but she was willing to go at it alone, even though nobody else would go with her. I notice this. She done all she could. I gave a challenge to the football team yesterday. I used the verse Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse number 10. It says, whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with thy might. It says, for work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know what that means? I should give everything today because I might not have tomorrow. I should give everything I have today because I might not have tomorrow. I might not have enough Sunday service. I'm not getting another chance to have the election. I'm not getting another chance to praise him for being big enough. This might be the opportunity. And she got all she could. Said, I ain't much, but I'll give you everything I got. I need somebody to help me right here. Say, I ain't much. I ain't much, but I'll give you everything I got. She humbled herself. She worshiped alone. She done all she could. I like this. She believed what she'd heard. She believed what she'd heard. Everyone in that room knew because Jesus had told them he was fixing to die. But not one of them, not one of them, not one of them give him the honor he was due before his death. She'd heard his word, and she believed what she'd heard. And that is why she was there. Come on, how many of you be honest this morning? You've heard the word. Now the question is, you believe what you heard. Because if you heard it and you believe what you heard, then it only makes sense that we do what Mary did, and that's, we see the attitude of Mary. We see the adoration of Mary. I wrote a few things down. Don't try to write them down. Her love knew no boundaries. Her love knew no boundaries. She wasn't welcome there. She wasn't invited there, but she showed up. Her love knew no boundaries. There wasn't no police line she wasn't willing to cross. There wasn't no fence she wasn't willing to climb. There wasn't no locked door she wasn't willing to go around, because her love knew no boundaries. Not only that, but her love had no limits. Saying about the same? No, not exactly. See, she had no boundaries, so nothing would stop her. But she had no limits. No cost was too much. He said she did all she could. This alabaster box was very expensive, very costly. And you didn't open it like we open bottles now and close them up. It had to be, what do we hear in Mark chapter number 14? Broke it. In other words, once she started, there was no going back. In other words, once she started, it was all or nothing. And she said, oh, I need somebody to help me. Don't get quiet. Y'all done got quiet, and I know I'm hitting a nerve. We want to give him a little bit. We live in a recycle world. I need somebody to help me. Remember them bottles? Coca-Cola bottles? We popped the top. Yeah. Until we got smart enough to put a cork in it. You had to drink it all. We had to drink it all. Now we done moved to the twist top. We'll get us a little bit now and save a little bit for later. Problem is, I need somebody to help me. It ain't as good later as what it is. I need somebody to help me right here. I ain't drank a Coke in months, but there ain't nothing like popping the top on a cold Coke. Help me, Jesus. Getting in the flesh. Be off the diet this afternoon drinking Coke. I'll be double fisting a Coke and a Dr. Pepper. See, the problem is when we bottle it up, don't taste as good later. You can open it up, and it might have the same sound as it did when you opened it the first time. Lord, help, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Did y'all hear him? He just blew through here on that. Who knew you'd find the Holy Ghost in a Coke? Well, I did, but. You know, I noticed you can leave a Coke bottle in the truck and get it real hot. You open that thing up and it'll say, but it ain't the same. Matter of fact, one sip of it, it'll turn your nose upside down. I need somebody to help me right here. ain't the same. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying give it all you got. Let's treat our worship like one of them pop tops. Lord, some of y'all having flashbacks to alcohol. Y'all stay with me. We're talking about Coke here. And not the old Coke that had the cocaine in it. Some of y'all got excited right there too. Her love knew no boundaries. Her love had no limits. Her love overcame her critics. The people that were criticizing her were the ones that should have been worshiping with her. I need somebody to help me right here. See, it ain't the outside world that criticizes your worship. It's the ones on the inside. It's the ones that ought to be with you. Hey, Miss Gwendolyn, it ain't the outside world got a problem with your worship. It's the ones that ought to be worshiping with you. See, they got that twist-top religion. Miss Gwendolyn, Miss Lucy, and some of these other ladies and men in this church, they got the pop-top religion. Y'all, I feel the Holy Ghost on the Coke. I ain't lying. Her love overcame her critics. He meant more to her than everybody else's mouth. Her love was experienced by those around her. Don't miss this. The Bible says that the room, the house was filled with the odor. That means even those that wasn't worshiping were going. Boy, that smells sweet. That smells sweet. Is everybody all right? I promise y'all, don't be leaving. Her love not only was experienced by those around her, but her love went home with her. Oh yeah. The Bible says that she dried his feet with her hair. My grandson likes to get lotion and put in his hair. He runs around looking like a modern day youth pastor. Everybody all right? We'll put some skinny jeans on him and put him up there in front of a camera and we'll have a youth pastor out of him. Get in that hair and what you have to do, dog? Got to go wash him. You don't just wipe it out of your hair, man. It's there. It's all, you know what I'm talking about. She got that all over her hair and went to the house. Got to sitting in the recliner and going, oh, I remember. I remember how sweet it was at his feet. Oh, my goodness, y'all. Her love was experienced by those around her, and her love went home with her. Lastly, I'm done. Her approval. The approval of Mary. God recognized her actions. Don't think for 1 minute that you're going to worship God that he don't see it. Hey. Everybody else might be making fun of you, but I got all belief that God's up there in heaven going, that's my child. That's the one that I died for. Why ain't the rest of them? God recognized her. God approved her. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. I need somebody to help me. You better be careful how critical you are of somebody else's worship. Because there's somebody up there in heaven that she's worshiping that said, you better leave her alone. Better be real careful how you treat that one. Don't make me come off this throne. Don't make me come down there. I need somebody that had a mama that beat them to know what I'm talking about right here. Don't make me. Robert Joseph Harrington, don't make me come down there. Y'all know about that third name. Come on, I need somebody to help me. God memorialized her. She's going to the piano right now. We're coming to the altar right now. Why? Because he's worthy. Service is over. He's worthy. Come worship him this morning. Come find your place around the altar. Get alone with him for a little bit. Get at his feet. Find yourself a low spot. Get at his feet. Love on him for a little bit. Give him everything you got. Leave out of here having said, I gave all I could. We ain't talking about a purse. We ain't talking about a wallet. We ain't talking about cash. We ain't talking about a credit card. We're talking about giving God all we can this morning in worship. He's worthy. He's worthy. Heads bowed and eyes closed, if you will, with me. I want to ask you a serious question. I'm ending the service on this. Mary worshipped him because she knew him. Mary worshipped him because she had a relationship with him. Fact of the matter is, there's a lot of people that know him or know about him, but very few have a relationship with him. This morning I come to you with a question. What kind of relationship do you have with Christ? Let me ask it this way. Listen now. If you were to die right now, where you're sitting at, where you're kneeling at, where you're standing at, if you were to die right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know? You say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'd die. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell. Preacher, I just don't know. Preacher, I have doubts. Sometimes I feel like I go to heaven. Sometimes I feel like I'd end up in hell. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. Thank you. You put your head down, man. Thank you. Put your head down. I appreciate you. Thank you for being honest. Somebody else, who be honest with me? That's all I'm asking you to do. Ain't nobody else looking around. Who else be honest with me? Preach, I'm not sure. Maybe you've been at church. Maybe you've been here for years. Maybe you called yourself. Thank you. You can put your head down. Thank you. I'll thank you for being honest. Maybe you've called yourself a Christian at times. But you be honest right now and say, preach, I'm not sure. Anybody else? Had several looked up. Anybody else? I want to end the service with an invitation to you. There's been several that's looked up. And there's more than likely some that I've missed. The invitation is this. You can leave out of here today knowing where you'd spend eternity. You can leave out of here today having a relationship with the God who created the universe. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, there's been several. Lord, that's looked up, acknowledged. Lord, do they have doubts or they do not know? They don't have assurance of their salvation. God, this morning I'm asking you to do what I can. Lord, if it was up to me, I would go and grab each one of them and I'd make sure they had it before they left. But Lord, I made a promise to them. I told them I wouldn't embarrass them. I wouldn't point them out. So God, I'm asking you to do the work that I can. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to take them by the hand this morning. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to convict them to the point, Lord, that they yield to you. Lord, I'm asking you this morning to save them. head still bowed and eyes closed. My prayer can't save you. I wish it could. But this morning, if you'll let me, you can leave out of here different than you came in. You can leave out of here knowing. Said you didn't know. You can leave out of here knowing where you'd spend eternity. But this is where it gets tricky, because this is your decision. I can't make it for you. Your mama can't make it for you. Your friends can't make it for you. Wives, husbands, that can't make it for you. Church can't make it for you. This is where it's your decision. This is where the rubber meets the road. This morning, if you'll let me, I want you to get up out of your seat. If you looked up at me, I want you to get up out of your seat. Come right to where I'm at. Take me by the hand and let me help you this morning. Don't leave out of here, please. I'm begging you, don't leave out of here having acknowledged that you're unsure. Don't take the chance. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He'll come. Come right on. He'll come. Help me, dog. Somebody else, come on. I'm offering you something. I'm offering you something that'll change your life. I'm offering you something that'll provide comfort, that'll give you peace. Something that you lay your head down on a pillow at night and know. Can you make that promise? I don't. God does. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. Come on, let me help you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you've been good to us this morning. Better to us than we've been to you. More faithful to us than we've been to you. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would continue to work on hearts, minds. God, I pray as we leave out of here this morning, we'll take something with us that'll hold us and keep us throughout the week, encourage us. God, I pray that we get to a place in our lives where we worship no matter who's watching and no matter who'll do it with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jesse, who we got, man?